One man with a cell phone on the back of an airplane said to other men who were standing nearby, "I don't think we're going to get out of this thing. I have to go out on faith." Those words were spoken by Todd Beamer. He was a passenger, a Wheaton College graduate, who was on board the hijacked United Flight 93 that ultimately crashed in the Pennsylvania countryside on September the 11th, 2001. A terrorist plot to bring America to its knees was partially foiled that day by the courage of one man who rounded up several others to help him take a stand against terrorism that cost them their lives. Terrorists had hijacked that airplane. They planned to crash it into either the Capitol building or the White House. It wasn't until the little black box was discovered later on that the plot was revealed completely. But now the whole world knows how brave Beamer and his fellow passengers were on that fateful day. One thing we have learned for certain is that it was Todd's faith in Christ that gave him the strength and courage to do what he did on that day. Todd Beamer died as he lived, a faithful believer of Christ. There's an article entitled "The Real Story of Flight 93 that appeared in Newsweek several years ago, and it provides some gripping details that came from the actual transcripts taken from the now-recovered cockpit voice recorder. Todd was afraid many times, but on more than one occasion he cried out for his Savior. God heard that prayer, and he heard the prayers of others who were able to be contacted by his cell phone as this nightmare was unfolding in flight. Passengers were herded to the back of the jet. Beamer called the GTE Customer Center in Oak Brook, Illinois on his cell phone. He had told Supervisor Lisa Jefferson about the hijacking. The passengers were planning to jump the terrorists, he said. And when he asked her to pray with him, the article relates that Beamer kept a Lord's Prayer bookmark in his Tom Clancy novel, but he didn't need any prompting. Beamer began the prayer when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." As they finished the Lord's Prayer, he said, "God help me." And then Beamer and his fellow passengers prayed another prayer that has comforted millions down through the centuries. It was the same prayer that David wrote in a time of great anguish when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And then he uttered his famous last words, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." We now know from the cockpit voice recorder that Beamer and the other passengers wrestled the hijackers and forced the plane to crash to the ground, killing themselves but foiling what was believed to be a hijacker's plan to fly Flight 93 into the nation's capital and take a strike at the very heart and soul of the United States of America. As Christians, we know that God can bring good out of evil. In Todd Beamer, the world witnessed a Christian that held up in the extremity of fear. The trial that Todd went through that day was one that resulted in his life ending, but he stood his ground and God was glorified. A faith that is strong enough to stare death in the face with faith up front, standing against the wiles of the devil, is a faith that can and will move mountains. Mountains were moved that day, and that same faith of that husband and father now comforts his widow and two sons and their families, even to this very day. Today we're going to take a look at trials and troubles and how they affect us, and how God can use that which the enemy of our soul is using to destroy us and turn that trial into a blessing. Our text for today, if you have your Bibles, is found in Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 13. Job chapter 2, beginning at verse number 7. "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he, Job, took for himself a potsherd from which to scrape himself, and he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die,' she said. But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not also accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin by what he said with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all of his adversity, they came to him, each one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite. They came and made appointment together to come and mourn with Job and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar, they did not recognize him. They lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one said a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. There is more to the story than that, but these verses clearly define what we want to talk about in this message today. Every single trial that you and I encounter will have several things in common, and we can see this in the trials that beset Job. Our trials will always challenge our faith. You know, that's the first place that a trial will attack, is your faith in God. How much faith do you have in God? Do you have the faith to stand up even in the face of death, as Todd Beamer did, to stand up and be faithful? Or will you crumble? Will you give in? Will you give in to the temptation to allow that trial to take over your life? Or will you stand in the wind? In the context of our scripture for today, Job's wife has come to a very sick husband. She's realized how badly he's hurting. She tries to convince him to curse God and die with some dignity before he dies of this horrible disease. And she apparently thought that was imminent with Job at this point. At first, it's easy to dislike Job's wife and to get really aggravated about her attitude about his illness. But you know, you really need to stop and think about that for a moment. If you consider everything she endured, you will understand that some sympathy for her is very definitely in order. Do you realize she's just lost her 10 children? She and Job have lost everything they own. All their cattle, all their wealth was gone in a matter of just no time at all. One day, and everything was gone, and now Job is here like he is. Do you realize what kind of agony Job's wife was in at this point? And to her at this point, as she stood there looking at his disease-ridden body with a piece of pottery scratching at all the sores on his body in the garbage dump, I'm sure she felt that it would be better for him to die than to continue to suffer and to be ridiculed by those who would look at his plight. We can understand how she felt, but the question of the day is this. Does her feelings justify her action? Did she just quit? Or was she acting out of fear? Was she acting out of a trial that had beaten her up? Well, it's a little bit of both, if you want to answer that question honestly. She was acting out of fear. She was acting because the trial had brought her to that point. Once upon a time, she was a very well-loved woman, as was Job in the community. But now she was at the bottom along with her husband. You know, at this time, that's the time when Todd Beamer-type faith needs to take over. When we feel like we're at the bottom, and you know, I think maybe Job himself probably felt that at one time or another. He didn't utter the words, but I'm sure he felt it. And just because Job didn't say it doesn't mean he didn't feel it. The Bible says he didn't sin with what he said with his lips, with his words. But you know what? Job, I'm sure, thought the very same thing, that no matter what happens, he would not desert God the Father, and that is exactly what he did. So don't be unkind or angry with Job's wife. Have sympathy on her, but at the same time, if you approach her in your mind, put your arm around her shoulder and tell her, follow your husband. He'll lead you the right direction. Keep your faith in God. You will never regret doing that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we need to say to someone whose faith has been clobbered by a storm, whose faith has been beat up by circumstances beyond their control, whose faith has been put to the test and wasn't really strong enough to endure it. You know, even a tree can bend and break in the wind. A soft tree will lose limbs like a pine in the deep south, will lose branches and pine needles everywhere after a storm. A lot of times they stand, sometimes they break, depending on how strong the wind was. A hardwood will all the time break when a strong enough wind, straight on wind especially, hits it. If it's twisted, it'll stand and it'll fight the wind and ultimately break. But you know what? If you can imagine a tree that is in a tornado, and imagine just as the winds hit it, the arms of God wraps around that tree and protects it from being destroyed. That's pretty much what it's like to follow the Lord. And that's what Job was experiencing. Job's attack was against his faith. That's always the place where the enemy of our souls will attack us. It's our most vulnerable spot. It's the spot where we're all too human sometimes. We should look to our faith as the place where we find strength to withstand the attack. Because when you look to your faith in God, even if it's weak, the Bible says a faith as a grain of mustard seed. That's one of the tiniest seeds you've ever seen. But when you plant a mustard seed in the ground, a New Testament type mustard seed, not one of today's genetically manipulated mustard seeds, but you plant one of the originals from the New Testament, you get basically a tree. That's what comes from that tiny little tree. Someone said, the tallest, mightiest oak tree in the forest is nothing more than a nut that stood its ground. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what faith is about during a storm. Often it's easy to surrender to our fear and to the effects and the attacks on our faith. Remember the disciples in the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Jesus was in a boat with them in the flesh. And in spite of that, they despaired at life. Sometimes even those things that we know to be absolutely true will seem to be dust in the face of our trials. But ladies and gentlemen, nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, God is with you when you encounter troubles and trials. And when your faith is tested, God will help you if you will look to Him. The second thing we can say about troubles and trials, they will sap our strength. It's true that Job was weak. Can you imagine him sitting there in that garbage dump, scratching at those awful oozing sores on his body? If you have ever had any kind of a skin irritation, you can understand what Job was dealing with. When I was a kid, I used to get poison ivy every summer. It was like my mother used to say I could walk out in the woods and it would jump out of the woods and get on me. And that's probably not too far from accurate. I got it every year and I'd get a bad case of it before the summer was over. And every summer without fail, I'd have to go to the doctor's office and I always got that shot to get rid of the poison ivy. In later years, that poison ivy began to morph into something else. They used to call it infectigo when I was a kid. In other words, as those blisters would begin to spread all over my body, they would get what looked like infected, and they would become these nasty, oozing, large sores that would be big and red. They'd be 4 and 5 inches in diameter across the top of my leg or on my abdomen or my back. And all over my body, these things would pop up, and they would ooze and run, and they were nasty. I could hardly wear clothing on top of these things. My doctor told me one time that was as close as we will ever know as modern-day man to knowing what leprosy was all about in this day. Now, Job did not have leprosy, but he had a skin disease that was very similar. He was stricken with it. He didn't get leprosy as a result of his sin, which usually leprosy represents. But that is the best way to describe what it physically looked like. It was a skin disorder that had those large, oozing sores. And as they hurt and bled, can you imagine how it sapped the strength of Job? I can tell you from fighting with heart disease for 22 years that having heart problems will sap your energy. It will take you down to the bottom and make you feel like the battery is dead and you can't do anything about it. Fatigue is not even a word that begins to describe what you feel when heart function drops, as mine has done several times in my lifetime. I can tell you what fatigue is, and I can tell you what heart function failure is also. There's two very different things. And what Job must have been feeling that day was nothing short of massive fatigue because of the fight because of the loss, because of the grief, because of his own physical ailments. So those trials will sap your strength. The Bible says to us, though, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. What a verse to think about when you're in the middle of a trial and a trouble. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Well, let's take a look at that verse for just a moment. I want to tell you four things that verse does not say. That verse does not say that the Bible said there would never be a weapon formed against us. The enemy will form weapons against you, and that you can count on. If you do anything for Christ, count on that. The second one, the Bible never said these weapons would never be able to fire off a shot at a child of God. Sometimes they do fire off a shot. The third thing is the Bible never said these weapons, if they're fired, would never be able to hit a child of God. Of course, they hit us. And the Bible never said that these weapons, when they fire and strike a child of God, would never do damage to that child of God. Sometimes, like in the case of Job, when our strength is at its lowest, someone we love will crumble under the stress, as Job's wife did, and that causes us to be weakened even further. Trials are inevitable. Some trials are severe enough to leave a wide path of destruction, as with Job. What we must remember is that these severe trials are nothing that took God by surprise. He never once said, "Oops, I didn't intend for that to happen." And one more thing about a trial. God will turn that trial into a blessing, if you will allow him to do so. Trials will knock us off our feet, and while we're sitting firmly on the ground, we'll tend to look up and see the stars in the sky. It's then we can realize that God is speaking to us. It's then we can see the trial for what it is, the enemy who's roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. And like Job, God permitted the trial to take place. When we realize that fact, we are well on the way to being restored after the storm passes by. I didn't tell you before what the Bible does say about that special verse, "No weapon formed against them shall prosper." The Bible says these weapons that are formed against us, that fire at us and sometimes hit us, will never prosper. That means they cannot defeat us. God is the winner when it's all over with. And let me tell you something else about trials. When you come through them and you stand on the other side of the valley looking back, you'll realize that God did make your trial a blessing. The words of that great song, written by our very dear friend Terry Tidwell, says this better than I can ever say. "I've just come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the doors. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love he has for me. I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test you must face. It's here that God will mold you and make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. Now I'm standing on a mountain, looking back, and I can see, when I was in that lowest valley, his strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunrise and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace he gives to me." Todd Beamer's wife, Lisa, told a TV talk show, "You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it asks us to forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." As Todd prayed that prayer in the last moments of his life, she said, he was forgiving those for what they were doing. The most horrible thing you could ever do to someone, and Todd forgave them. It wasn't Todd's job to fight terrorists. He was just a passenger who, along with several other passengers, did what they didn't have to do. They foiled a terrible evil that might have done great damage to this country and the people he loved. As Flight 93 hurtled towards the ground, Todd Beamer could not have known that his quiet prayers would ultimately be heard by millions. He never knew that the story of his last acts on this planet would be a witness to the Lord that he loved and served as a lasting example of true heroism. God did make Todd's trial a blessing, and the whole wide world has now seen it.